Informal discussions with the Giang Suu Kyin in Hue, Vietnam, September 2025. Recorded by the Foundation, edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Sarah, John, Gung, Lee, Lian, Ganga, Eve, Alberto, An Lei, Mai Sun, Tai, Little Hang, Tam Bak, Tiny Tam, Tam, and Zhao.
Ajahn about to talk, explain more about letting go, and Ajahn explained that it's all about understanding, and Ajahn remind us that the purpose of the life is the paramis, to accumulate more paramis, and then...
And instead of thinking about letting go, what about understanding what is there now? What is more important? Understanding what is there now, and understanding itself lets go. Ignorance and attachment. Is understanding real? What does it understand now?
When you ask what is real now, I'm thinking about the seeing we have discussed today. And when consider seeing, and listen your teaching, we understand that is the no self, no I. But sometimes I think that there are something from the I. Is that seeing? Because like now, something from I can see something, right? So the idea of somewhere and something. Can you elaborate more about the when thinking about something and somewhere at the moment of seeing, so it's also maybe the a level of ignorance and maybe DT, right? The DT at that time we misunderstand the reality.
Yes, I think we have many different ideas, like we think about seeing at the eye, but when seeing arises, it's the visible object that's impinged on the eye sense, and the seeing arises with the eye sense as base, but it just sees, no thought about the eye sense, it's just the reality that sees, and quite different from our ordinary idea about seeing. So it just experiences what is visible and then gone. So when there's a little more understanding about seeing, at that moment it's just the characteristic of seeing. No thought about eye base or visible object, just the reality that sees, that's all.
Every reality arises and falls away instantly, and we cannot experience directly, so because of a lot of moments that, so we think that there is something, experience something, right?
It always seems like it's something because it's not the understanding of the Dharma. But it's not trying to understand the Dharma, but the nature of any Dharma is just as it is. Seeing is just seeing. What is seen is just what is seen. So no I involved at all. No I that sees, no I that understands or doesn't understand. Just different Dharmas arising and falling away, each one gone. So now there's seeing, gone, no understanding. It doesn't matter, it's gone, it's unimportant. So letting go of trying to understand, because it's a burden, but it's punya that lets go. Without punya, there's always trying to understand, trying to experience, and so on.
When we listen to Ajahn's and your teaching discussion together, and we remember, and sometimes when we recall the something is taught before, so it's like the sanya remark something, and but the moment of understanding is different because only remember but not consider what is real now. So it's, I think it can can go to the wrong way. So can you have elaborate more about this point?
I'd like to go back to how you started this conversation, and you said we understand at a conceptual level that there is no self, no I. Is that understanding or is that thinking?
I think thinking, yeah.
Right. And it could be right thinking, it doesn't matter, but it's not understanding. So is that thinking a condition for understanding to arise?
Right thinking, I think, is one of the conditions.
Thinking there's no self, no I, is that a condition for understanding of a conditioned reality, like seeing a visible object, to arise?
Thinking of no self, I think is good question. Because maybe we're thinking, and but we not consider, and thus automatically follow. And the thing that...
Right. So this morning we were talking in the discussion about seeing an invisible object. We know there must be seeing because there are visual images. But there's no experiencing of the seeing and the visible object, or the visible object, right? What are the conditions for that kind of understanding to begin?
I think consideration.
Yes. Hearing the Dhamma and considering it.
Yeah.
But the understanding that is conditioned by that hearing and considering doesn't necessarily arise right away. It doesn't arise at the time. So it's not as though in the discussion we're all having a lot of understanding just because the subject matter is seeing an invisible object. Because these Dhammas are very subtle. And they can only be the object of awareness and understanding when the conditions are there. So coming back to the idea of no self, no I, is that an aspect of understanding conditioned Dhammas? Yes. At what stage does the understanding of no self... It depends whether we mean by that there is no self, or do we mean that seeing consciousness is not a self, or visible object is not a self.
Right thinking, as I still think that is one condition, but when this thing, seeing is no self, but cannot understand many aspects,
understanding has to develop gradually. So even when there is the understanding of seeing, for example, an invisible object, there may not necessarily immediately be the seeing of the characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. But that can only follow with further development of the understanding. We have to keep in mind when we are discussing the Dhamma, what are the things that may be a condition for better understanding of the present moment reality, and what are things that come to be understood at a later stage when understanding is more developed. For example, we could talk about enlightenment, but we all know that enlightenment is not attainable realistically, so we don't need to talk about path consciousness, for example.
So we are talking about...
So we need to appreciate where we are. And what is helpful for our particular level of understanding.
So we are listening about what can appear now. It appear now, but we ignorant. We forget about that reality. I think that learning about the what is real now is the most important. Then some theory about something is not really appear. At least at this level, very low level, like us.
And what's important is just for a moment, like you were mentioning, the wrong way. The right way, right understanding, is for a moment. The wrong way, when there's wrong understanding, is for a moment. So all day long, right way and wrong way, just for a moment. It's not like one is on the wrong way or one is on the right way. A moment of wise considering or understanding about Dhamma is the right way, just for that moment. And then ignorance, wrong understanding, wrong way.
Yeah.
So whatever arises is just for a moment, not I on the right way or the wrong way at all.
Yes.
That is seeing right now.
Yes, Ajahn.
Even we don't say anything. But I am thinking about seeing, right?
Yes.
So I follow each moment. I see and I think about seeing. That's why, what about all dhammas are anatta? Seeing cannot be thinking. Seeing is conditioned to arise to see, and thinking is conditioned to arise to think. Each moment gone instantly. So understanding this moment, that even we are thinking about seeing, that there is seeing right now, it's still, I am thinking about seeing. That's why how deep, how subtle it is. Any moment without understanding of the truth must be taken for atta, something, or I. When there's no one seeing, who else at this moment of seeing? Even we don't say it out, I see, but I see, it's there. Is it right? Who was born? And who dies? And who sees? And who thinks? Every moment. Each moment is conditioned to arise and then fall away instantly. How can it be I see, I think, I like, I was born, I died, and so on? Impossible. So learn to be true to the truth. Satya Dharma. The most important, to understand the truth of seeing. What is it? See, no shape, no form, you cannot think, but it's there, see, it is there, see, a reality. So no matter what are there in life, it has to be one of the two realities. The reality which arises and experiences the object, no one. But it's a reality which experiences the object. If it hasn't arisen at all, there cannot be anything. No world, no universe, no moon, no star. So that is the very important, the reality which experiences the object. But even attachment is also experiencing the object. But it does not see. Careful considering attachment to the object which is seen is not that which sees. Understand how many realities in a day unknown. Not just remember the name or the word, but begin to study, to understand a little more each time hearing about seeing. So no one can tell how much attention to seeing right now for anyone. It has to be that person only who knows whether it is just hearing about seeing, or it's the other moment, attending to the nature of seeing. It cannot lie, it cannot hear, it's just a moment of seeing in God. So life exists only in a moment, very quickly, arising and falling away, never to arise again in samsara. So it cannot be taken for anyone. I don't know. Can seeing be a dog, a cat, a person, Vietnamese, Thai? Not at all. It's just a moment of seeing. begin to understand what is meant by a moment. Without the reality which arises and experiences the object, there can never be any moment. Is that true? But a moment is a moment of experiencing a reality or an object. From moment to moment, what is there now? Again, to understand the truth of this moment, what is there now?
So what is there now, if not consider carefully?
That's not the answer, if not this and that.
Seeing visible object.
What is there now? Visible object or Kunsunathan?
Kunsunathan.
Before there can be very, very firm understanding of the truth, what is seen cannot be anything else at all. Only a reality which can be seen, no matter what we call it, color, visible object, that which is seen. It doesn't matter. But the idea, I see someone instantly, right or wrong, no understanding of the nature of that which is seen.
We think that everything happening now is real. So Ajahn is real, Sarah is real, Sunathan is real. But is that the result of thinking? Of the,
that's why we are talking about seeing, and I think about seeing. I again, even we say, seeing sees, it's I who say. How can the I never be there anymore in life, naturally? Now, by then, you understand who is the Buddha. So great understanding. To understand that what is seen cannot be anything at all. It's just a very short, instant moment of a reality sees. A moment of seeing is just a moment of seeing. And what are there in that very moment? No one knows. Only the enlightenment just shows what are there. Now, just in a moment, see, so great wisdom. That is a moment of paying respect to the one who has enlightened the truth. Hearing, but I hear, see, all the time. That's why consider again and again how much understanding of seeing right now and be true to the truth. Just once or twice in a day, in a month, not enough. We heard how many times, how many years about seeing, but it's still I see. Because if there's no understanding of what is the way or the path to let go ignorance and attachment to seeing as I see, it's there.
Letting go to ignorance and attachment to the idea I see, as I understand it, begins with the understanding of seeing and I see. Because only when there is the understanding of a conditioned reality can there be the letting go of any view about it. Again, it comes back to what is appearing at the present moment that can be known. It's not just seeing an invisible object that we are attached to and have an idea of I see. There's hearing and all the other realities and feeling and so on. The beginning is to appreciate that it's just what is appearing and can be known in its true nature. That is the beginning of the process that leads to letting go. It's not that letting go leads to understanding or leads to these realities appearing. It's the other way around.
Jonathan points also the answer my intent to ask the question, why we are talking about direct understanding. What does that mean? You mentioned that understand the real, then it conditioned for let it go, the idea of the self. Because we understand directly the reality, then the note can understand the anatta or the nature of the reality, not the self, right?
It's realities that are taken for self is the answer to that. To work on the taking for self or to have a better understanding of the realities. Because realities in their true nature are anicca, dukkha, anatta. And it's only by directly knowing that true nature that there can be any permanent or effective letting go of the idea of self. Some people have the idea that the taking for self is what needs to be caught and cut off. But that could never actually happen because there's still no seeing of realities in their true nature.
By considering about the realities and considering about the teaching about the anatta, can it lead to get rid of the idea of the self or have to be direct experience the reality?
Because the idea of the self is itself a conditioned reality that has been developed, wrong view and attachment, for example. These realities are accumulated tendencies, and nothing can ever undo those accumulated tendencies except the understanding that leads to enlightenment. Because at moments of enlightenment, at the different stages, those unwholesome realities are finally eradicated. But until that happens, they can never be negative. They can only be suppressed in some way or other. Suppression of agusala is really only happens, I think, in relation to sense door experiences. The craving for further existence, the clinging to life, the wanting to life to go on after this life, and these sort of attachment and craving isn't really apparent to us anyway. Of course, we're very concerned about our attachment to food and people and comforts and so forth, but those attachments are not actually the problem. The more serious problem is the attachment to existence itself. And because it never manifests in a way that is apparent, it's only the development of understanding and seeing the true nature of this life that has the effect of overcoming those cravings.
The idea of self is a gradual development. That's why we're here discussing about realities like seeing and what is seen, in order that there can be a little more considering about whether there is any atta or not, whether there is something there or just visible object that's seen. Considering wisely is the beginning of letting go the idea of atta. So gradually it develops a little more. As I said to Lee, the right way is for a moment, the wrong way is for a moment, and many, many moments of wrong understanding now, occasional right understanding for a moment, but the understanding develops so there's more and more right understanding and less wrong understanding. But it's gradual, but it develops on and on until there is more understanding, direct understanding, and finally letting go of the idea of self completely. But it's just a gradual path. But it can develop even right now.
So directly understanding the reality have to go through on the path, right? I mean, from now, for example, until eliminate something. The direct understanding in the middle have to go through, right? That's the only way.
The wrong understanding is only completely eliminated, eradicated at the path consciousness, Sotapatti, Margacitta. Until then, it's just gradual development of understanding, gradual letting go of wrong understanding until it's ready to be completely eradicated, until the latent tendency is gone forever. So a gradual path. Don't underestimate the value of discussion, wise considering, reflecting now, because this is how understanding develops.
This afternoon, with Jonathan mentioned about the seed Dharma. I sometimes talking about understand the Dharma. So, any relation see the Dharma with the sea?
Well, I'm afraid I don't remember the context in which I mentioned seeing the Dharma, but seeing is a
no. Talking about see
seeing.
See, not seeing. See. Okay, then back to a new question, easier. So, sometime talking about see the Dharma. See the Dharma. No, see Dharma. And understand the Dharma. Any relation?
Well, in the context of, for example, he who sees the Dhamma sees me, the Buddha, that refers to understanding.
Yes, I got it. But it not relate to anything about the sea, right? Let's say, why not talking tat Dhamma but sea? Why not talking about touch? Tat Dhamma but sea? Any relation to the say seeing much clearer than touching or hearing or just the word or on.
I think see is used throughout the teaching. So vipassana means to see clearly, as I understand it.
Yeah.
And also the term view, ditti,
right,
is related to seeing,
right.
So we're talking about right view, wrong view, and seeing the Dhamma, and clearly seeing the Dhamma vipassana.
So that's not really anything to the, because in Vietnamese also say Thấy mean the see. In Vietnamese, Thấy Pháp mean see the Dhamma. See the Dhamma. I mean, any special meaning of the sea instead of using here Dhamma or Tatsa Dhamma. You got my point?
Yes, it means to understand.
The common word in English, like I see, mean I understand. Yeah. Oh,
okay,
can you repeat what you said? Oh, now I see. Yes. Okay. It just means I understand. Nothing to do with seeing
nothing.
Consciousness. No.
Okay. Okay.
No. Just another word for understand. Yes.
See?
I'm linking to that. What we just see is much clearer than what heard. Let's say, I see you, that much clearer than what I heard about someone talking about Jonathan. And what I'm not sure if that linked to that point or not.
I think you're making it too complicated. Just, it's so simple.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it just means understand. Yeah, so just different meanings of see.
Before you throw a question to Lee, that is thinking about seeing a condition to understanding of the seeing. Then I wonder when we got about like it, the condition for understanding is considering, and considering you know, it's another. When we say, when we're thinking, it's also had another aspect of considering the Dhamma. So I wonder, when you say thinking about Dhamma, of course, if with wrong view or with attachment, it doesn't lead to understanding. But thinking about seeing with right understanding, or so when it is a case of considering about seeing versus thinking about seeing.
Whatever term the Buddha used, and he was the one who said, associating with a good friend, hearing the true Dhamma, considering what has been heard, and then practice. He was referring to kusala citta. That's how we need to understand it. So considering that it's not kusala citta is not going to be a condition for the development of awareness and understanding. But again, we don't need to worry too much about whether our citta is kusala or not, because then we would never start reflecting on these things. We'd have to stop all the time and say, is this kusala citta or not? So we don't worry about that. But we just appreciate that it's the kusala consideration that conditions eventually the understanding. There's a lot of emphasis in some aspects of the Dhamma from people who think that knowing kusala from akusala is the starting point and the absolute necessary condition for developing the path. But as I understand the teaching as explained by Tanajan here, that is not actually the case. What is important is consideration that conditions the arising of understanding of the true nature of realities. If one is always thinking about whether there is attachment or aversion or ignorance or whatever, conceit and that sort of thing, the focus is in the wrong direction. And that's the concern of the person who is developing samatha of jhana, for example. But it's not the focus of the individual who is developing insight. Of course, that's not to say that there is no regard for kusala. There is, but knowing that distinction is not a necessary component of beginning the development of the path.
Is there wise considering now? Different moments, right way, wrong way, moments of right considering, moments of wrong considering. Oh, but what does see mean and hear this? I don't know what. Or it, when a jhan says, what appears now? And one starts saying, oh, but this is thinking too much. And it's so moments of right and wrong considering, even now while we have a discussion all the time. It's all always just for a moment. It's not right considering all the time because we're having a discussion. And it's not wrong considering all the time either. Different moments, only Panya can begin to know a little more. Not by trying to catch it, but just naturally beginning to understand a little more about what is right considering, what is wrong considering.
It should be on, just start talking. Can I bring back to the topic of letting go? When I'm hearing that term, letting go, I'm thinking of something, we're talking about something opposite to attachment. Like you hold on to something and now let go of something. I know that's still thinking of very conventional thinking, but that's what I thought. Just now I just heard from your explanation about letting go of the idea of self. Then at that moment, I am thinking that's what I understood was incorrect, because ditti is not attachment. Oh, but it's rooted in attachment too. Oh, it's actually lobha too. Okay, so sorry, I'm confused now. So actually letting go is the opposite of attachment. Is that correct, Sarah?
Attachment. When conventionally we say, oh, I'm going to let go of my shirt because I'm not wearing it and giving to someone else, That's all still about I.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we're talking about letting go now, mm. it's not just the letting go of clinging, it's the letting go of the idea of I, of something, of atta. Mm. So it's not just not enjoying the green tea anymore, but
understand.
What is it, the cup, what is seen, letting go of the idea of something there, letting go of the idea that I see, I hear, I misunderstand, I this, I that. Gradually letting go of the baggage of I, of atta. The big burden in life is atta, clinging to atta. So quite different from conventional idea about letting go.
Because I suddenly have another thought. I always, you know, thought or heard that when there is understanding, there is the letting go, because that is the function of panya. Okay. So I don't understand why panya has such function, because I've been told that panya understand exactly each the characteristic of each reality, the common and the individual, you know, characteristic is of a certain reality. So how? Sorry, I'm thinking out loud.
Yeah. At that moment of panya arising, is there any ignorance at that moment?
No.
So the ignorance is let go of, because usually thinking all day long with ignorance and attachment and wrong understanding. So when panya arises, no ignorance, no wrong understanding. So at that moment, it's letting go of ignorance. Mm. No opportunity for ignorance to arise.
Okay, but at the moment of dosa, there's no attachment there. I know that there's still ignorance, but there's no attachment.
Yes.
So, but that's not letting go. Of course, it's not, but then how does that work?
So when panya arises, no, like perhaps one's in a bad mood with a lot of dosa, when panya arises for that moment, no ignorance, no dosa. It lets go of akusala at that moment. But in the context earlier, it's particularly referring to letting go of the idea of I, my dosa, my unhappiness, my grumpy mood. It's always about I. So letting go of I, because they're just dhammas. The grumpiness, the dosa, they're just dhammas that arise and pass away. So letting go of clinging to the idea of I, my feeling, my emotion, my dosa.
Okay, so it makes sense. So like at the point that I tried to make earlier, it wasn't that clear, but my point was at the time of dosa, there's no attachment, there's no clinging, definitely, because it's opposite, right? So I thought if there's no clinging, then that's already letting go, because there's no clinging. But then you just pointed out there's ignorance, so there's still the idea of I, so there's no letting go of the idea of I at that moment.
Well, it's panya that sees the true nature, right, of conditioned dhammas. What is that true nature that panya sees?
True nature. I mean, the characteristic.
Yes.
Common characteristic of each reality, which is
anicca,
dukkha, anatta.
So momentary, right?
Yep.
And arising by conditions.
Yep.
So if something is momentary and it arises by conditions and it falls away and is gone forever, if that is seen, wouldn't that be a condition for letting go of that? The letting go that's developed by panya doesn't just apply to agusala tendencies. It applies to all realities.
Yeah.
Gusala ones as well.
Right.
And rupas.
Right, right.
So it's wrong to see panya as just a tool for eliminating unwholesome mental factors. The function of panya is to see the true nature of realities and the
worthlessness of life in samsara. Mm. And that's what conditions the letting go.
Okay. Very clear now. Thank you. I have no further question on this. Thank you.
From time to time, I've been reflecting on, for example, suffering and ignorance and the self. There's so much of it that that's the material I have to work with. And the aversion to, ignorance, domanasa, is like the wearing away of the handle of the knife ever so slowly. And the self, how huge it is, what a burden, when things don't go my way. It takes too much time. I'm waiting for the bus for 6 hours. I'll never get anything done. And so when I embrace the suffering, the self, it's sort of a moment of, yes, this is the nature of suffering. Not that it's not going well, but that it's the self and the clinging, the self and the tremendous suffering that it generates. And, for example, earlier Jonathan stated about the craving for existence. Well, having heard the Dharma, it would be to state that, no, I want ignorance. I want to keep continuing on and on. Ignorance is the condition for rebirth. It's just madness. It's foolishness. So slowly, bit by bit, it just falls away. It somehow softens and attenuates. More the dukkha, the moha, the utterness, the self. Because as far as ignorance goes, at this point, is all of these are only known in the most indirect peripheral way. I could say it's rather lame. It's because it is the teaching of the Sammasambuddha. But it's not just that. It's sort of like the effects of it, and that's how I know it's there. And then there are the effects of listening and discussing and associating with wise friends, listening to the Dharma. And then there are the effects of that, which is what I'm getting at, is the suffering, so much of it, the ignorance, so much of it. Self, the wrong view of self. It's not that the self sees things wrong, it's just that the belief in this unreality, a concept of self. So I'd like to hear more about the nature of suffering. There's a certain amount of joy in embracing it, if you will.
In the deepest sense, now. Seeing now is dukkha, it's unsatisfactory. Hearing is dukkha. Panya, understanding now, is dukkha. Yes. It's unsatisfactory because it arises and falls away and there's clinging to it. Even the dosa, clinging to the emotions and the story about it, clinging to everything. So whatever arises, whatever is conditioned, is dukkha, unsatisfactoriness or suffering, if you like. So usually we just think of the unpleasantness and the unhappiness and the pain as being suffering. But this is dukkha-dukkha, the kind of suffering that everyone knows about when one has a headache, when one's upset or angry or emotional or there's unpleasant feeling. Even those who've never come across the Buddha's teachings know about dukkha-dukkha. The second kind of dukkha is more subtle, viparinama-dukkha. Now, pleasant experiences, but there's clinging to them, wanting more of them, wanting to have pleasant sounds heard again and again, pleasant tastes again and again. So even the pleasant objects are dukkha, because they don't last. But the third kind, only taught by the Buddha, sankhara dukkha, refers to any reality that is conditioned, is dukkha. So we think of just that which is unpleasant or difficult in life, but that which is so pleasant, when we don't wait for the bus and everything is on time and everything is so sabai-sabai, and we're listening to a jhan and we're in a pleasant place and the tastes are just right, each reality is dukkha. It doesn't last.
That's what's going on, though, with the pleasant ones. I know it's not going to last. I know. I reflect on anicca, and it just softens it when it's gone, and then the suffering's back again, or whatever it is the next reality up. But
because clinging always is followed by unhappiness and disturbance and difficulties, so that's life all day, moments of clinging, moments of aversion, moments of unhappiness, moments of understanding the right way, followed by moments of not understanding the wrong way, doubt. Each one, however much we have heard, however much we say, oh, we know they're all impermanent, it's not the direct understanding of the arising and falling away of realities. It's not the direct understanding of the nature of dukkha, of realities. But we discuss them to begin to learn that each moment now is dukkha. But the clinging is so strong. So this is why there is difficulties and why there is the torturing of ourselves, like we hear about the passing away of our dear friend. And then there is the unhappiness and the disturbance. The problem is the clinging, and it conditions the torturing of oneself. Keep thinking with unhappiness, unhappy feeling, because of the strong clinging to oneself and one's own pleasant feeling all day long.
Or the self-efforting or fighting
conditions. It's all about me.
It's just,
it's all about me, what other people think, what other people say, what happens to other people, and the loss of my pleasant feelings. So this is what all the difficulty and disturbance comes down to.
But I also get, from reflecting situationally in various succinct moments there, that on anicca, the impermanence and the unsatisfactoriness of it is the key, and it just softens it, the suffering.
I'm thinking, and I'm seeing, and I'm listening. As long as what is now cannot be directly experienced, we're talking about seeing, but no understanding of seeing. Just begin to learn about seeing. Who learns? I. Always I. That's why it doesn't matter at all, as long as there are conditions for the I to be there, it's there. So seeing is seeing, or I see. Consider again and again and again, and that is the only way not to forget about the truth of what is there, as we have learned. That is seeing right now, hearing about seeing, I'm hearing, I'm thinking about it, on and on and on. That's why understanding the three rounds of the Ariya Sajja, what is the difference between the three rounds? Just talking about here and now, again and again and again and again. Just round about this moment. Tomorrow we'll talk about it again. And tonight we'll think about it as something or I. That's why it's not just only understanding can develop without other realities supporting, arising together. So we have heard a lot about sati, right? Were there any moment of sati? Kun Sarah gave something to you. Not Kun Sarah. A moment of sati. Not forget. About giving to the others. But we talk about sati. But when sati is there, no understanding of sati. That's why it's not just learning about book, the word in book, but learning about right now. Each moment is Dhamma, but it's not known as Dhamma. It's known as someone, Atta, or something, all the time. That's why there is not just understanding. What arises is there to support the moment to be wholesome with right understanding. So, what is sati? Anyone can talk about it in words, but when is there? Would you like to have this? See? Without sati, without other reality which is wholesome, condition such deeds. No one there at all. That's why we learn about other realities too, one by one. Not only seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, but what are they? Each moment. That's why we learn about what are there together at moment of seeing. Can the idea of self arise with seeing?
No.
Just learn from the book?
It's a different moment.
At the moment, that's why we learn about one moment at a time. The conditions for seeing are only 7 jetasikas or more than that as conditions. See, little by little, we learn about understanding, seeing, until there can be moment of thinking about seeing. And that is not enough, just thinking about seeing, at moment of seeing. Right understanding develops further on, little by little. No attention to seeing, even there is seeing right now. So how can there be right understanding of the distinction between seeing and that which is seen? To understand in truth, that is moment of seeing, not other moment. And that moment is conditioned to arise and falls away instantly. It cannot belong to anyone. It's gone, never to arise again, no matter what moment. Learn about Dhamma. Understand more about Dhamma, the Dhamma which experiences the object, and the Dhamma which cannot experience the object, and the Dhammas which experience the object. So many Dhammas, some are wholesome and some are unwholesome. Is that true? And it's not seeing. The wholesome reality cannot arise with seeing. We learn little by little to let go ignorance and clinging to seeing. Even we just talk about it for years without a little more understanding of other realities, that is the clinging to the other realities as I am thinking again about what arises with seeing all day. Each day.
Yeah, so much mind work.
That's right. Understanding how subtle Dhamma is. Even we heard about seeing is conditioned to rise and gone instantly. It does not appear as that at all.
Mm.
But the truth is there. So understanding the word of truth about a reality can condition a little more letting go, ignorance and attachment.
There's so much akusala. It doesn't necessarily have to be the gross kind. It can be subtler and subtler, but just so much of it. So that's what there is to work with. And there are akusala moments, and those are the side effects of the Dharma. It's not just because I'm parroting, oh, that's what the Sama Sambuddha, or it's highly developed understanding, but through association, listening, reading, discussing, and so forth, and the way it all stacks up is it just makes sense, and I see the effects of it in the day-to-day life
because
situation.
Because in truth, there's not just seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and there's clinging to seeing, hearing, smelling, touching, and what about the others? Or unknown, ignorance, condition, attachment.
But also, Tanachan, there's the reflecting on impermanence, the breaking apart world, things arising and falling away immediately. And there's a knowingness that that's key. That's a very powerful key for being set free from dukkha, from, and of course, self. And, you know, there are these moments.
Reflecting on? Thinking about?
No, not so much that. It just happens. It's like a pop-up, Kunjana.
Because earlier we talked about the difference between thinking about and seeing the characteristic of something. So if we are talking about dukkha as a characteristic of reality, then that's different from talking about the general suffering of daily life, the grind, mm-hmm. if you like, of mm-hmm. daily life.
No, I mean more toward, leaning more toward dukkha. And the thing is that...
So the beginning of that is the understanding of the realities. There can't be reflecting on the dukkha nature of realities, like seeing or visible object, if the seeing or visible object hasn't become yet the object of understanding.
I guess what I'm... what I was trying to say earlier, I might be after, is that the impermanence of realities isn't always suffering. It's a release from it, if you will. Am I communicating?
A release from what? The realities?
From clinging, from suffering, yeah. Situationally, some moments there have been that.
I think then we are mixing up the conventional idea of suffering or the unpleasantness with the truth about realities, because the dukkha the Buddha taught about with regard to the impermanence of realities refers to each reality, each conditioned reality, is
moment,
dukkha,
moment.
Is unsatisfactory, is dangerous, is a trap.
Yes.
So whatever arises and falls away is dukkha. And so now we're not talking about the unpleasantness or the difficulty in daily life. We're talking about the absolute realities, the nature of each reality. Is mm-hmm. dukkha. So when we start thinking about the unpleasantness when we're unhappy or when we have knee pain, then this is referring to dukkha. So that unhappiness and that painful feeling, they are also sankhara dukkha, but so is the pleasant feeling, so is the kindness, so is the understanding. Any conditioned reality is dukkha. And it's so helpful because otherwise there is clinging all the time to the story about, oh, my emotion, my unhappy experience, or what happened when I was at the bus stop. But when we appreciate that each reality is dukkha, there is a little letting go of those moments of understanding literal letting go of the idea of I or something there.
Yes, you mentioned that panya rises and falls away, then there's the suffering, it's gone. It rises and falls away, each reality, even the kusala wholesome.
It's a letting go to begin to appreciate that whatever is conditioned and arises is dukkha. What's the point of clinging to what is seen, which is gone already, to the sound that's gone already, however pleasant, to the taste that's gone already, even to panya? What's the point of clinging when it's impermanent and dukkha?
So when you... I didn't mean to ask, and I know time's almost finished, but when you talk about that, clinging to the idea of I, of self, then this question kind of pop up again. Attachment or aloba has different characteristic, and ditti has a different characteristic. And then when we're talking about clinging to the idea of soul, I am thinking of attachment. So ditti is different, but
attachment,
how come
with ditti, two different realities arising together at that moment, because attachment can arise with or without ditti. But when there is clinging to the idea of I see, I hear, clinging is there with ditti.
Still clinging.
Still clinging and ditti.
But one is without ditti and another one with ditti.
Yes.
I get it. Okay. Thank you, Sarah.
At what level of understanding can understand the dukkha characteristic of the realities?
As far as I know, there's no specific answer to that question. And of course, it would have to depend on the understanding that has been developed in the past. Because for everyone, there may have been some understanding of a particular characteristic in preference to another one. But just as a general comment, I think, of course, as we've said before, just working from basics. First, the individual conditioned Dhamma has to be seen by its particular characteristic, seeing visible object, hearing sound, attachment, before there could be direct understanding of the characteristic of dukkha.
And we can add, if there isn't the direct understanding of the arising and falling away of a reality like seeing, then there cannot be the direct understanding of the dukkha nature of seeing. So now it's a beginning to consider why seeing is dukkha, why hearing is dukkha, why even panya is dukkha. So it's a beginning of understanding about dukkha, but it's just thinking about it. So it's wise considering, but it's not directly known until the impermanence of realities are directly known.
I think the important thing is that the characteristic of dukkha is not because of the particular reality, like it might be an agusala mental factor, but any reality, all realities are equally dukkha. So obviously it's a developed level of understanding that sees that.
Can we say that satipatthana have to be developed before that such level, understand a common characteristic like dukkha, anatta, something?
What do we mean by satipatthana has to be developed?
I mean satipatthana mean direct understanding the realities have to be developed before understand can realize the three common characteristic of reality?
Well, I think we just said really that there has to be understanding of the individual reality before its dukkha nature would be directly known.
If satipatthana hasn't been developed, there cannot be the first vipassana jnana, and unless there has been the first, second, third vipassana jnana, cannot be the direct understanding of the arising and falling aware realities. So we're talking about very high level of clear understanding. Third round, not first round or second round. Yeah. So that's why back to now. I'm just wondering, Alberto's made the longest trip of everyone. Alberto, anything you'd like to bring up or ask Ajahn about?
I was thinking about what Leanne was saying about those that are not being like detaching. And do you think that those is detaching from the object, or is it like more like rejecting the object? Is it? Can you see the difference between letting go and pushing away?
Pushing away. It is right. It is pushing away the object.
Like dosa is when you're
trying to. It doesn't like the object.
It doesn't. You don't like the object, and you try to avoid it and
correct.
Push it. While detachment is, I think, is the nature of detachment. Must be very different from trying to avoid it or pushing it away. Thinking right. about your comment about it.
Yeah, that's a great point. Thank you. Yeah, so it's not interested in the object anymore because it's not meaningful. It doesn't have any value in it. The momentary realities. Like John pointed out, but I can see your point.
I think Alberto's point is, and I agree. If it's letting go, it wouldn't want to push away the object.
Yeah.
Otherwise, would be
that's not letting go.
Have detachment from.
Okay. It
would be very easy to have detachment from.
Yeah. I see.
It's not that. It's very very different from. From dosa, I think.
Right. Thank you.
The opposite, like.
Yes.
Maybe like the middle way, you know, like being attached or being feeling aversion. The middle way is the detachment.
Okay.
Something like that. I don't know. Neither loba nor dosa. Neither loba nor dosa.
But neither dosa nor loba, there can still be ignorance. When you said that, I'm thinking of at the time of no loba, no dosa, but there can be ignorance, and likely to be ignorance.
I remember Ajahn once said that the best of akusala is just ignorance without loba and dosa.
The best?
The best of akusala.
Akusala.
Or the less.
The worst.
The less worst. It's not having only avijja.
Okay.
Just one root instead of two.
Ah. Oh. Yeah. So that's not as bad? Is
not
that
as
what
bad.
You mean?
Not as bad.
Not as bad? Okay. I thought the ignorance is always bad.
But two is worse than one.
Okay. Is that true? Is that right? The right comment for Alberto? Because I don't know.
Summarize. Yeah. I'm quite sure Ajahn mentioned that. But better just have one...
root.
Root, like
which
avijja.
Avijja.
And... of akusala is better than have just avijja than avijja and loba or avijja and dosa.
One root or two roots, see, more than one.